Might be sure to pass the table and look at the display and all that out there. But if you would please also take a new prayer card home. Now, if you have an old one, I guess I could say this is new and improved. Now, I haven't improved very much since the old one, amen, but it's a new prayer card for you. But I do want to thank you for your prayers, too. God is doing great things in Mexico City, and I attribute much of that to prayer as well. We found ourselves in a number of difficult times down there, and then all of a sudden things just get better. And I believe that that's because folks are praying, and God hears prayer, and God answers prayer. And so thank you for your prayers for us. Get your prayer card and keep praying for us. And Mexico City, the second largest city in the world, 38 million people. 38 million people in Mexico City. Think about the country of Canada has 37 million people in the country. Of Canada, and Mexico City has 38 million people. It's just a huge, huge place. I'm just a small town boy. I grew up in a small town in Alabama, and yet by the grace of God, we find ourselves in Mexico City. It's a huge place, and it grows by 1,000 people every day, and it's just a wonderful place to be for my wife and I, and you have a part in that. One day when you get to heaven, and you see all these little Mexicans up there, and you'll say, well, how'd you get here? They'll say, because of you. Thank you. And so let me thank you again for helping us do what God's called us to do there in Mexico City. I'd like for us to look tonight, if we could, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And one of my heroes in the Bible is the Apostle Paul. I love reading his letters to the churches and reading his epistles. And I want to look at this tonight and just kind of use this to see a little bit about what Paul did and kind of give a little testimony about what the Lord has done through us or helping us do in Mexico City, and look at this passage of Scripture to be a reminder tonight of something very, very important for all of us. Now, if God hasn't called you to a foreign mission field, let me just tell you tonight that I believe that you're on the mission field already, right here where God has you. God wants to use you like He's using us, but God is still calling people to the mission field. So if God is calling you to do something different, well, then just obey Him by faith and trust Him and allow Him to do a great work. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you found your place in honor of God's Word, let's stand and we'll read 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 25. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9:19, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews became I as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you one more time, Lord, tonight for the opportunity and the privilege it is that we have to be here in your house and to be in your presence, Lord. I want to thank you for the pastor and for just the church and for their part in our life and ministry, Lord. Thank you for the nice hotel room that they provided for us, the gift bags tonight, and just for their faithful support and prayer, Lord. And I want to thank you, Lord, that they support missions, but they also have a burden to reach their people here. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help us continue in this, Lord, that you've called us to. And I pray that tonight, Lord, you'd meet with us, Lord, and that you'd bless your word tonight. And I pray that you'd bless us, your people. And I pray, Lord, that when we leave tonight, that we would be more like you than when we came. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Mexico City is a huge, huge place, twice the size of New York City on about a tenth of the landmass as New York City. So it's a huge place. There's a handful of other missionaries down there, but we all have our work cut out for us. There's about 10 other independent Baptist missionaries in Mexico City, but there's 38 million people, so you do the math, amen. We got a lot of job security, my wife and I do for us, and if we were called up today, which we're not, in other words, if everybody was saved today, which they're not, there would be 1,000 new people there tomorrow. Every day there's 1,000 new people in Mexico City, and it's just a huge place. I just still can't wrap my mind around the hugeness of that place. And yet I'm very happy to be there, and I'm thankful that the Lord's called us there. It's not always a pleasant place. It's a very dirty place. It's a very dangerous place. It's a very unsanitary place. There's cartel that roam the streets there. We hear gunfire every day from our house right across the street. I've been threatened. I've been threatened by the cartel. I've had a gun pointed to my head. All those things happen. You say, well, Brother Mike, why would you just go back there? Why, if things are so bad, why would you go back there? And there is a reason why we keep going back and why we love that place. It's because God has called us there. And I want to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to do what He's called me to do. Now, I'm not a great preacher, and I'm not a great missionary. I'm not a great Spanish speaker, but I want to do what God's asked me to do, and I want you to be faithful at what God's called you to do. And so that's why we keep doing it. That's why we keep going back there, is because God's called us there. That's our home now. I'm 100% American. I'm red, white, and blue. I served my country in the Army as an officer, and I love America, but God's called us to Mexico City, and we're glad to serve Him there in Mexico City. But there are some things that help me to do what we do there. I think about what Paul says here. Let's just look at the text a minute again. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19. The Apostle Paul says, beginning here, he says, "For though I be free from all men." Now, the Apostle Paul must have been an independent Baptist. I mean, he said, I'm free from all men. He wasn't under the Jews. He wasn't under any other people. He was free to serve the Lord. But he says here, "Yet have I made myself a servant unto all, that I might gain the more." We understand tonight that Christianity teaches, and it's true, that to be saved, there's nothing that you and I can do. Jesus did everything that was necessary. Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins, and there's nothing that you and I can do to be saved. We have to turn from our way, turn to Him to be saved. But the Apostle Paul, after his salvation, said his desire was to be made a servant. Paul wanted to be made a servant of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you tonight, my friend, you're in a great, great church, and you're doing great, great things. But I want to encourage you just to keep asking the Lord to help us all to be made servants, that we might reach more people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Apostle Paul said. His desire was to reach more people and to reach as many as he can. Now, a lot of the people didn't like what Paul had to say. Paul preached to the Jews, and a lot of those Jews didn't like that. But you know what Paul did? He just went ahead and he preached to them anyway. Amen. A lot of the Gentiles there didn't like what Paul had to say. But you know what? He said, "I'm just going to please God," and he preached it anyway. There's a lot of agnostics and atheists in Paul's time, and they didn't like what Paul had to say. But Paul just went ahead and preached anyway. He understood that Paul was serving them and serving God as he preached the gospel. And so that's what Paul did, and that's what we as Christians need to do. We don't need permission to do it. Amen. We have God's word on it. We have been told what we need to do, and we just need to ask the Lord to help make us servants unto all people. But apart from the conditions in Mexico, apart from the crime, apart from the corruption, there's some things that help me as a Christian. And it's good examples of other people that have gone before us. I love reading stories about missionaries. If you're a young person here or even an older person, I'll get you a book about missionaries and read just some of the things that they went through, some of the things that they did for the Lord Jesus Christ. I like what C.T. Studd said. C.T. Studd said once before, he said that Christianity, salvation, if you really get it, it's like smallpox. He said, you're going to spread it, amen? And it's contagious. And I tell you, that's what our salvation should be like. We should enjoy it, but not just keep it to ourselves. We should want to spread it to other people. C.T. Studd also said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And my friend, all that you and I do for the Lord Jesus Christ is the only thing really that means very much. And Paul said his desire was to be a servant to all people. Paul had a good example, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came not to serve, but to be served. And the Bible says of Jesus in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." So the Apostle Paul learned from Jesus, and Paul said, "Be followers of me as I follow Christ." And so tonight I just want us to look at Paul's life and a little bit of his testimony here and understand what Paul faced and try to share a little bit more about Mexico City with you tonight. You know, that's what the world needs tonight from us as Christians, is real Christians who have a heart to serve, but real Christians who have the heart to get the gospel out. I mean, you ought to be praying for our president. Amen. You ought to pray for President Trump that he would stand firm and that he would not play the politics game and that he would just do what he was called to do. We ought to pray for our president, but the world doesn't need necessarily, that's not the greatest need that we have as a president. The greatest need is not better doctors or better medicine. The greatest need that we have is a Christians like the Apostle Paul, like the Lord Jesus Christ, that are committed to serve and to get the gospel out. So let's look tonight just a few minutes more about the Apostle Paul. Look what it says here in verse 20. It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20, "And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews." The Apostle Paul said his desire was to reach the Jewish people. Now, the Apostle Paul was a Jew. He was raised in the Jewish religion, and he got saved, and his desire was to reach his people. And my friend, I had no idea. Honestly, I remember when I presented our ministry in your other location, I had thought I had this all figured out. I mean, I thought I made a survey trip, so surely I knew everything I needed to know, right, about Mexico City. Well, that wasn't the case. I thought that we would just go down there, and we would just minister to all these Mexican people. You know, little short people, dark hair, dark skin. I thought that was all that there was. A lot of times we tend to lump people together, and we just say, oh, they're just all a bunch of Mexicans, or oh, they're just all a bunch of Ohioans, and we kind of lump people together. And if we're not careful, we'll miss a lot of good opportunity because we don't see people individually as they are. We kind of lump them all together. But I thought we were going down there just to reach these little Mexicans. And I got down there, and I began to see a lot of Jewish people in Mexico City. There's in our area, right where we live, there's over 40,000 Jews in Mexico City. And I had no idea that was the case. So we've asked the Lord to help us, and He's helping us to reach the Jewish people. Mary had dedicated that song to a Jewish lady named Victoria that got saved. And with the Jewish people, though, it's different. You can't just say, trust Christ as your Savior to go to heaven. You'll just mess it up if you start off that way. You have to start in the Old Testament and talk about the prophecies of the Messiah, and you have to do it that way. It's kind of a slower process. But I mean, God's asked us and allowed us to reach Jewish people with the gospel. And that's what the Apostle Paul was talking about. His desire was to reach the Jewish people. And let me just say, I'm not sure what your backgrounds are. I'm not sure where you came from. I'm not sure if you were raised Church of Christ or Catholic, or I'm not sure really what you were raised. I was raised Catholic. My wife and I were. Let me just tell you, there's a benefit to take what we know of what we were to reach those same type of people. If you were raised Methodist or Presbyterian or whatever, use that. Allow God to use that to help you serve those people and reach those people. I mean, when I got saved, I just wanted to forget all about that stuff, all that religion. I just wanted to forget all about it. But now I realize there's an advantage to use that to reach the Catholic people in Mexico. I'm just telling you, Paul's desire was to reach those Jewish people. And I want to just encourage you tonight to continue to ask the Lord to help you reach people that are like you. I mean, we're Americans. All of us are Americans in here. You ought to have a heart for America. You ought to be praying for a revival. You ought to be praying that God would help you to make a difference. I'm just saying, Paul's desire was to reach his people. He desired to be a servant to them, and we need to ask the Lord to help us. Help us all be a servant to people that we're like. But it says here in the second part of verse 20, it says, "To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law." Apart from Jewish people, there's a lot of other people that are trying to keep some type of law or try to do something to get to heaven. And you and I know, my friend, that there's nothing that you can do to get to heaven. There's two types of religions in the world. There's the do religion, that you got to do something, and there's the done religion, that it's been done. Jesus did it, so there's nothing else to do. But yet there's people, lots and lots of people, that are trying to do something to get to heaven. You saw in the video tonight those people crawling on their hands and knees. I mean, they'll crawl for days and days and days to the church there, thinking that they're earning favor with God. And my friend, that's not how it works. They're trying to keep some type of a religion and law. But my friend, right here where you live, there's people that are trying to keep a religion or keep a law or trying to do something. And we need to ask the Lord, like the Apostle Paul did, make me a servant to all these people that we might reach more for Christ. Paul's desire was to reach the Jews, but also to reach other people bound by the law. Paul says here in verse 21, "To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law." This might not surprise you, but there's a lot of lawless people in Mexico City. It can be a bad place. Now, I'm not going to share with you all the horror stories. I'm not here to tell you how bad it is, because then you'll never come visit us down there. I hope maybe sometime you can come visit us in Mexico City, but it is a bad place, and there's a lot of violence and corruption, things like that. But you know what? The blessing I'm just trying to think of some examples. There was a young man. His name was Sergio. And we were knocking doors one day and passing out tracts. My wife and I. She's always my partner Mexico City is the kidnapping capital of the world, so I always keep my wife close to me there, and we were knocking doors and everything. This guy was sitting on the curb, and so I sat down, and I gave him a gospel tract. I began to witness to Sergio, and I explained to him the gospel and everything, and after a few minutes, I said, "Now, Sergio, do you understand what I just told you?" He said, "Yes," and I said, "Okay." I said, "Would you like to respond to that?" And he said, "Well, I would like to." And I said, "Well, let me just phrase it differently." I said, "Knowing that you could be saved if you would turn from your sin, turn to Christ, would you want to do that?" He said, "Well, I would want to." He said, "But I can't be saved." I said, "Now, Sergio, and I was very careful to explain it to you. I thought you understood what I said. I told you all that the Bible said that you had to do to be saved. Would you not want to do that?" He said, "Yeah, I would, but I just can't be saved." I said, "Now, Sergio, I'm not sure if I quite understand. You can be saved." He said, "Most people can, but I can't." And I said, "Now, you tell me, I don't quite understand what you're talking about." He said, "Well, let me ask you a question, preacher." He said, "Can people that have murdered people get saved?" I said, Well, yeah, people that's murdered people can get saved." He said, "Well, what about people that's murdered lots of people?" He said, "Like me, for example." And he started to, I said, no. I said, "I'm not a priest. You don't have to confess your sins to me. Let me just tell you, it doesn't matter if you've murdered one person or more than one person. You can be saved." And I shared the gospel again, and Sergio got saved. I had no idea he was a cartel member. And I don't go looking for cartel members, but I'm just telling you, my friend, there's a lot of lawless people in Mexico City. And you know what makes the difference is the gospel. The gospel makes the difference. But you don't have to go very far from where you live right here to find bad people. I'm sure that's the case. I'm sure if you look in your news, there's a record of people that just in and out of jail and things like that. But you know what the solution for bad people in Mexico City? It's the same thing for the solution people here. It's the gospel. And Paul's desire was to reach them that were lawless. And my friend, I just want to tell you, lawless people can be saved. We just need to ask the Lord to help us, to make us servants unto all people, servants to, like the Jewish people, servants to those who are trying to keep some type of law, servants to lawless people. And look what Paul says in verse 22. He says here in verse 22, he says, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak." You know, one of the saddest things for me as a missionary, and you saw just a little bit about that tonight in the video, is the orphans that there are in Mexico City. There's over 1 million orphans in Mexico City. I mean, just think about that. That's a ministry in itself. There could be a person come down just to dedicate their life to the orphans in Mexico City. It's a sad thing to see these kids left to their own and on the streets, helpless and hopeless. Most of them don't live in an orphanage. Most of them live on the streets, and it's very sad. They're very weak and vulnerable people. But what a blessing it is that we, through you folks, we have an opportunity to reach the orphans. So there's an orphanage close to us, and we go in once a week, and we tell them about a Heavenly Father that loves them. What a blessing that is. There's a song that Mary had taught these orphans, and maybe you know it here. It's "Everything's All Right in My Father's House." And these orphans, when they would hear that, they said, "Can we sing that song again?" And Mary would sing it with me. "Can we sing it again?" I mean, they love thinking that everything's all right in the Heavenly Father's house. And I'm just telling you, my friend, there's weak people in Mexico that need the gospel, but there's weak people here. There's people that are hopeless here and have really no solution apart from the gospel. And we need to ask the Lord to help make us a servant to all people, to weak people too. And I'm just telling you, that's what Paul's desire was to reach the Jews and to reach the people under the law, to reach the lawless people and to reach the weak people. And his desire was to do that. Romans chapter 15 says in verse 1, "We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." The Apostle Paul understood the need to bear that infirmity and to reach weak people. And I just want to encourage you, my friend, just to ask the Lord to help you reach people who are in problems here, people who have difficulties here. There's a lot of people that are in that condition, a weak condition, hopeless condition, apart from the gospel. We need to ask the Lord to help us to reach them with the gospel. Look what it says in verse 23. Paul goes on to tell the reason of all of this, the reason he desired to reach the Jewish people, the reason he desired to reach the people under the law and people that were out from the law and weak people. Paul says here in verse 23, "And this I do for the gospel's sake." Paul's desire to do all this was for the gospel's sake. In Mexico City, I promote our church. I tell all those people in town, "Hey, don't go to the Catholic Church. Hey, don't go to the Jehovah's Witness. Hey, come to Hope Baptist Church." I mean, when we got there, I saw that there was such a need there, and I said, "God, these people need hope." And God impressed upon me the name our church, Hope Baptist Church. But I say, "Hey, folks, come to Hope Baptist Church. Come to Hope Baptist Church." And I hope you promote Bible Baptist Church. I hope you tell people here, "Hey, come to the best church in town, Bible Baptist Church." But you know what? It's not about Hope Baptist Church. It's not about Bible Baptist Church. Paul said, that I do this for the gospel's sake. It's about the gospel. I'm not trying to make a name for myself. I'm not trying to make a name for Independent Baptist. I'm not trying to make a name for Hope Baptist Church. All what we do is for the gospel's sake. And that's what Paul said. It's for the gospel's sake. And he says that I might be partaker thereof with you. What a blessing it is, the missions program that your church has. You get to partner with missionaries. Now, you can't go to all these places, but you can send those who are going. And as you do that, you partner with them. And we're in a partnership. This is a joint effort. Mary and I, we're not lone rangers in Mexico City. No, we're sent by a local church through local churches, but we're partnering. We're partners with you. And everybody that gets saved in Mexico City, you get part of that get credited to your account. Paul says in the Bible that Paul says that this is for your account, but we're co-laborers together. Imagine that God would allow you and I to work together and to work with Him. We're co-laborers together. That's God's plan. And what a blessing it is for my family and I, my wife and I, to be partners with you. God's going to reward us one day, but it's a blessing that we get to serve Him and partner together in the gospel's sake. And it's still a command to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. This is not an option. It's still a God's plan. And we just need to ask the Lord to help us to be made servants to reach all these people. Look what Paul says in verse 24. Paul says here in verse 24, he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." The Apostle Paul was talking about the competition back then, kind of like the Greek Olympics, and he said that, hey, when folks get in this thing, they get in it to win. And I just want to encourage you here tonight. This is a wonderful place to be, a good church, but I want to encourage you, my friend, just to really continue to take your Christianity seriously. I mean, Christianity is not just Sunday and Wednesday. I mean, it's 7 days a week, and I just want to encourage you just to stay in this thing like you want to win. I mean, it's a race, and we need to just get in it and not, I mean, I like going for a walk. Don't get me wrong. I like to go to a park and look at the birds and just kind of stroll around and have a nice time. But the Christian race is not like that. It's a race, and we need to run like we want to win. Paul says that these people that got in that ran for the purpose of winning. And the Bible says in Philippians 2:16, holding forth the word of life that I might rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. My friend, it'll be worth it all that you and I do for the Lord Jesus Christ. One day, there's a hymn song that we sing, it'll be worth it all when we see Christ. And everything that you've ever done for the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be so glad you did. Every person that you ever invited to church, you'll be so glad you did that. Every tract that you ever passed out, every person you ever witnessed to and gave your testimony, every missionary that you ever prayed for, you'll be so glad you did. It'll be worth it when we see Christ. And Paul said, it's a race that we have to run for the glory of God. Paul said, I press towards the mark. His desire was to press towards the mark. And at the end of his life, Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. Therefore, is laid up for me a crown. So I just want to encourage you tonight. What Paul is talking about here is being a servant and getting in this thing to win, running seriously the Christian life. And he says here in verse 25, he says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. During those days when these people would have those races back in Paul's time, what would happen was the person that won the race, maybe there was a podium there, I'm not really sure, but the one that won the race, he would get up there and he would stand, you know, and he had a big smile on his face because he's the winner. I mean, he had just won the race, whatever it was, and most likely they would take an ivy branch and they would probably roll that thing together, make a little crown out of it, and so he would stand up there. And they would place that ivy branch crown on his head. And he was so happy that day for winning that race, running hard, practicing hard, preparing hard. And he probably had to walk back home to his village, maybe. It probably took him a day or so to get back home. And he probably went to find his mom and dad and said, look here, I won. I did it. And he had that to show it. You know, that was his proof. And he probably went to find his cousins and nephews, you know, a little bit further on the next day. And he said, look, you know what this means? I won. I did it. I won. And he was probably so proud to have that little ivy wreath on his head, you know. But after a while, that thing being out of water, after a while, that thing began to dry up, and it was really worth nothing. It was corruptible. But what you and I do serving the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, is eternal. We're going to receive incorruptible rewards for our service to Him. What a blessing. We don't deserve that. What you and I deserve is hell, but being saved, God's going to use us and God's going to reward us one day, and we're going to turn around and take what we have been given by Him and give it back to Him because He's the one that's worthy. But it's a blessing that we get to serve. It's a blessing that we get to run. And whatever we receive, we understand it's for the Lord Jesus Christ and it's for His glory. And I just want to, you know, as I think about Paul's life and as I think about what he's talking about here, being made a servant, I just want to continue to go back. Our plan is to go back early next year and to start over and to start another church and just to start over from scratch. I'll have one member right away. That's my wife. Amen. And so her and I will start and we'll knock doors again and witness to people and trust the Lord to do another good work. But it's a blessing that you and I get to serve the Lord by serving other people. So I want to encourage you tonight just to think about the Apostle Paul, his life, his desire to be made a servant, so that he could reach more different types of people. So my friend tonight, understand that everybody's not the same. Everybody has a different past. Everybody comes from a different place. And we need to be sensitive to that and ask the Lord to help us to make a difference in the lives of all different type of people. Be a servant unto all people that we might win more for Christ. But if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ, your Savior, let me just tell you, that's the best day of my life when I trusted Christ as my Savior. Jesus, when He died, He stretched out His arms and He said, "It was finished." Not His life, not His ministry, but the payment for my sins and your sins was finished that day on Calvary. Nothing else had to be done. Nothing else could be done to save our soul than what Jesus did that day. When I heard the gospel preached for the first time in that Baptist church when I was 21 years of age, that preacher, I mean, he preached on half of my sins that Sunday morning. I thought, now how does he know so much about me? Surely my mom came and told on me because he knows all these things about me. And then I realized it was the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart about my need to get saved. I went back to that church the next Sunday and I heard another gospel message and I trusted Christ as my Savior and it changed my life. I mean, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. We won't be perfect when we get to heaven. If you don't believe I'm not perfect, just ask my wife. She'll tell you he's not perfect. Amen. But I love the fact that I'm saved. I love the fact that though I'm not great at everything, that God wants to use me and can use me if we use us all. If we would offer ourselves as His servants and ask Him to make us a servant to more people that we might reach more for Christ. So if you're here tonight, you're not saved, talk to the pastor or talk to me or somebody else after church tonight and get that settled. But if you are here and you're saved, that means that you too, all of us, are servants for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you, my friend, take this very seriously. One day, if we're faithful to the end, and I believe we're getting close to the end. I believe we're living in the last days. There's this thing that's going on in the world today. It's happened so fast now that almost everybody in the world today, to buy or sell, you have to have a mask. To buy or sell. They say it's just a mask, but to buy or sell, you have to have a mask. Those who go into stores or those who employees in stores, you got to have this mask. It won't be very long till they say it's just a mark. To buy or sell, you need a mark. And of course, we won't be here, but I think we'll see all this. I think we are seeing all this. The world is headed that way. Jesus is coming soon. And I just want us to finish well as servants. And if we will, if we'll stay faithful to the end, serving the Lord Jesus Christ, serving others, I believe we'll hear Him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." What a blessing. But we just have to stay faithful to the end. We have to stay faithful a little bit longer. We have to stay faithful till we see our Savior's face. And if we'll do that, my friend, it'll be worth it all. It really will. And so I just want to encourage you tonight with this passage of Scripture about the Apostle Paul, a servant of God. And I want to pray, ask you to keep praying for us, that God would keep helping us. We're praying for you too, that we all would be God's servants, reaching all that we can for Christ, for His glory. Let's close in prayer and I'll turn it back over to your pastor. Lord, we want to thank You tonight for the blessing it is to be in Your house and to be in Your presence. Lord, we want to thank You for just the stories in the Bible. We understand they're more than stories, Lord. They're things that really happen and therefore our encouragement, Lord. And as I think about the Apostle Paul and just the great success that he had and what he was called to do, Lord, it wasn't easy, but he got saved and then he wanted to be made a servant, Lord, a servant unto all that he might reach more for You, Lord. I pray that You'd continue to help my wife and I, Lord, as we go back to Mexico early next year. I pray You'd help us to start another good new church there, Lord. I want to thank You for this church. It's helping us to do that, Lord. I want to thank You that they're reaching their Jerusalem here, Lord, with the gospel. And yet, Lord, sometimes what we do by mistake is we just kind of say everybody's the same. We lump them all together and we don't see the many, many opportunities that we have to reach different types of people. Lord, I'm praying in Mexico City that we'd have a ministry now soon to the military, that we'd have a ministry now soon to hospitals, Lord, to the sports programs, Lord, and things like that. There's many, many more opportunities that we have. Help us there, Lord, but help this church continue to reach people here. Help us all be servants, Lord, for Your honor and glory. And help us here one day, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant, Lord." If there's somebody here not saved tonight, speak to their heart. But for the rest of us, Lord, just reassure and confirm anew, Lord, the fact, Lord, that you want to use us to reach more and more people for your honor and glory. And we can only do that because of you, Lord. Bless now, I pray, as we reflect upon the message. In Jesus' name, amen, Pastor.